Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host Gwyn Sheltimer, and our guest this week, Ted Staunton. Well, Ted, you've written many series of stories over your career. What are the advantages of writing serial novels?
Well, I think that one of the advantages, I guess the most obvious one, is that you know your principal characters in advance. There's always a process of discovery when you're writing a new book, but there's also a little bit of a comfort factor there if you know at least a couple of those characters well already, this is your chance to explore them further, and you're starting on a solid base.
Mm-hmm. And now for the entirely different. What other projects, apart from these series, have you been developing?
Funny you should ask. I had no idea. Felicity, this is an oddly busy year for me. So let me run through a few of them. Fun stuff is happening. We were talking earlier in the interview about the 7 series prequels coming out. And also, of all things, I was approached by a very talented guy here in the community, Sean Carthew, who's a playwright. And he and I have adapted a couple of my early stories that were published as picture books as a play.
Uh-huh.
For kids that is being performed at various places around Northumberland. So I'm very excited about that. That's a lot of fun. The play is called Taking Care of Crumley, and it's based on a book I wrote back in about 1984, maybe, and that's been out of print for a number of years. So that's kind of exciting. As well, I've got coming up in the spring, I have a brand new picture book coming out with Random House Tundra Books, which will be my first picture book in years. And I've seen the finished art and how the book looks. I'm really excited about that. It's called Harry and Claire's Amazing Staycation. And as well, just because of sort of the vagaries of timing, I have a new middle grade novel coming out with Scholastic Books this spring. It's called Bounced. It's about, among other things, reptile smuggling, bank robbery, private schools, and there was something else, but it eludes me now. There's another book about Spencer coming out. And finally, you were asking about serial writing earlier. 3 colleagues and I, Kevin Sylvester, Richard Scrimger, and Leslie Livingston, who are all really, really esteemed colleagues in the world of kids writing, we have all begun collaborating on a brand new series of middle grade novels with a wildly unlikely subject matter, and it's just been signed by a major publisher, so I've got to get started on that. And on Tuesday, you know, I try to keep moving all over the map when I write. Now, I haven't written and hadn't set out to write a picture book in some years, but I have been consistently publishing books for kids in about grades 2 and 3 in the form of what are called, you know, beginning or early novels.
Oh, yeah.
And in fact, I neglected to mention that my son co-authored one with me that I hope will be out in the next year or so.
Oh, that sounds fun. How old is the son?
Oh, he's 50. No, my son is 27.
Ah, looking back into his youth.
Put it that way, if there's anything in the book, I mean, he drafted it, we collaborated on the story, and I've done a whole bunch of rewrites on it. If there's anything he put in the book that he actually did, I didn't know about it, and I don't care to.
So, and when you visit schools, you give presentations still to all ages, including the younger ones?
Absolutely. If you're doing a school visit, the most fun is to get to visit with all the grades in a school on a given day. So spend part of the time with, you know, kindergarten to grade 3, and then spend an hour with the kids in the middle grades and finish off with the kids in grades 7 and 8 or wherever it may be. Keeps you fresh and keeps you on your game, and I'm always fascinated by who's interested in what. Because sometimes, you know, you can be very surprised. Kids in grade 7 and 8 will be absolutely smitten by picture books.
Oh, yes.
You know, picture books, I always tell people of all the stuff I write, picture books are really the only books I write that are for people of all ages. You and I can be intrigued by a good picture
book. Oh, that's true, yes.
And, you know, you get to be 12, 13. Nobody's sharing picture books with you anymore. You know, you're reading graphic novels and so on. All cool. But the magic of picture books just never goes away.
Uh-huh.
So it's always nice to be reminded of that.
Mm-hmm. So what would you say were the major interests of middle school kids and senior kids these days?
Middle school kids always like funny. You can't go wrong with funny. Kids in senior school or, you know, the intermediate grades or whatever, one word, dystopia.
Yes.
You know, when I was many, many, many decades ago, when I was that age, it was a rite of passage to read Animal Farm, 1984, Brave New World, Catch 22, all of those sort of dystopian, the world is mad kind
of
thing.
The Triffids and all that. I remember teaching that, Wyndham, all those things.
Yeah, all of those things. And now, of course, with the advent of sort of so-called young adult literature, there's this whole subgenre of essentially, you know, sort of grim, but sometimes very well written and very exciting, dystopian future, horrible future world fiction that kids are vastly enamored of. Sadly for me, I don't write that. But
sadly perhaps, but one wonders really whether one wants children to read that. I mean, you know, in small doses, but the obsession with dystopia is slightly depressing. You wonder if that doesn't affect their mental health when they're growing up.
Well, you know, I think it's, given that I and lots of my friends and so on, remember having those sort of same feelings, but there was just different texts. You know, mm-hmm. I think it's just a phase that everyone goes through as they're exploring how to be different while remaining the same. And so at the same time, really what speaks to kids, whether it's dystopian or not, are stories that in some way are about kids tackling problems sort of under their own auspices. You know, mm-hmm. there's stories about empowerment. Yes. So whether it's in a dystopian world where you have to fight for survival, or whether it's about getting a date in high school, really we're talking about whether or not that character ends up being
competent,
empowered.
And empowered, yes.
Yeah, I mean,
yes,
somebody
yes.
said to me, the Hunger Games, I hate to mention someone else's book on my interview, but, you know, famous series, The Hunger Games is just high school writ large.
You know? Well, so what are you going to read for us now?
Well, I'd like to read a little bit from a forthcoming book. Mm-hmm. This is a middle grade novel called Bounced. I mentioned it earlier. It's the one that involves reptile smuggling and bank robbery and a whole host of things. Many of the ideas came from oddball real life things that I ran across, and I wove in a little bit of my own past as well. This book will be available in the spring, and the main character is a young man named Duncan Fortune. Duncan is about 13 years old. He's about to go into grade 7, and he's been accepted at a prestigious private school for smart kids, something like University of Toronto Schools in Toronto. Duncan does not come from a wealthy family. Tuition is going to be very, very high, and Duncan is also an aspiring writer. In the city where he lives, there's been a series of bank robberies by someone known as the Borsellino Bandit, because they wear a great big hat when they commit the robberies. Duncan and two of his friends, who have also been accepted at this school, have decided that what they need to do is capture this bank robber because there's a reward. And they feel that the money that they get from the reward is going to help their families pay their way to this new school. The bit I'd like to read is from the middle of the book. Duncan and his two friends, Zal and Cece, are trying to find sort of an oddball character that they have run across in the course of their investigation. They have an address for this person, and they go to the address, and this is what they encounter.
Great.
The address was a tall, skinny old house on a street of tall, skinny old houses, crowded with locked bikes, recycling bins, and parked cars. A wire fence marked off a scraggly patch of grass and weeds. A hand-lettered sign, Rentals Available, curled in on itself in the blank picture window. Junk mail overflowed three letterboxes. The gate creaked as Cece unlatched it. We crowded up the cracked concrete walkway. "What will we do if he's here?" Zal repeated. The only answer he got was a long, low growl. A big black dog stalked around the corner of the house, ears back, hackles up. I felt the hairs on my own neck prickle the same way. I don't know what kind of a dog it was, but it seemed just smaller than a horse. It growled again, deep in its throat, then gave a thunderclap bark and took a step towards us. I took a step back. Freeze, Cece said to us. Stand straight. Don't make eye contact. I'm on this. We froze. Hey, fella, Cece said in a soothing voice. How are you, big guy? She reached in her pocket. The dog took another step, still growling. He barked again. I flinched. Cece's voice went on. I bet you could use a little snack, couldn't ya? Don't give him ideas, Sal croaked. Shut up, look away. What do you say, fella? Little treat go good now, huh? I heard the dog's collar clink as he came closer, still growling. I looked up at the saggy line of the porch roof and I tried to hold still. It was tough, let me tell you. You could chew on Dunk or Sal, but I bet you like these better, Cece coaxed. More growls. Something pattered to the ground. There was snuffling, then an unpleasant crunching. I risked a look. The dog swallowed. He looked expectantly at Cece. His ears had come forward. His neck hairs were down. Sure, I got another, she said. I told you you'd like them. Those guys are too skinny anyway. She held out something. The dog gobbled it down. Stay still till he gives us a sniff test, Cece said quietly. Then we're good. There was a lot of steam engine panting as the dog circled us. That's my boy, Cece said. You're just a big pussycat, aren't you? Can you sit for me? Sit. As she talked, the front door of the house jerked open. A stout lady in pink shorts stepped out. The dog bounded over. What's all this? What do you want? We're just saying hi to your dog, ma'am, Cece said brightly. What's big up? Somewhere inside the house, a TV was blaring. Just saying hi to your dog, Zell bellowed, probably in relief. The dog wheeled and started to bark. Shut up, Zell, hissed Cece. Shut up, Rex, said the stout lady. Actually, ma'am, Cece walked to the porch, we were looking for a friend of ours who lives here, Lamar Del Rey. What? Who? Lamar Del Rey? We thought he lived here. No Monterey here. Never has been. Last tenant was a Murray. The stout lady jerked her head at the empty window. Her yellow hair was in curlers. Really? Cece stepped up on the porch. My drum teacher is named Murray.
Different Murray. Wasn't a gym teacher. Worked in a pet shop. Anyway, that was a month back. Long gone. He didn't pay his hydro neither.
Well, sorry to disturb you, Cece said. Guess we got it wrong. Nice meeting you, Rex.
She patted the dog's head and slipped him another something. Rex trotted after us to the fence. It wasn't until Cece fastened the gate behind us that Zal and I let out our breath. We got our bikes. Cece tossed something to Rex. Gobble, gobble, gobble. What is that stuff? I said to her as we got on our bikes.
Doggy treats.
Why do you have a pocket full of doggy treats?
For times like this, Cece shrugged. Doesn't everybody?
Many thanks, Ted. It's always fun to have you on the show. Where can readers buy your books?
Well,
everywhere.
you name it. I travel around Coburg with a truck. That's locally, Furby House Books for sure. Certainly Chapters in Peterborough, Amazon. All the major outlets will either have my most recent titles in stock, or they'll be happy to order them for you. And I just want to thank you, Felicity, and Gwen, for having me back on the show.
Thank you for coming. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to our website, www.wordonthehills.com, where all our broadcasts are archived. We love to hear from you and welcome your comments on our programs. Thanks for tuning into the show. We hope you'll join us for another program next week at Northumberland 89.7, truly local radio.